Brother Field, will I have more than 10 seconds?
Yeah, that was kind of hyperbole. You know? A minute. You got a minute, brother.
God showed me at a young age that he wants to be a very personal God to everyone. And here's a little story before I share what I want to share that some of you might be interested in hearing. I don't think I've ever shared it before. When I was 10 years old, I was praying for a canary. I love the way they sing, you know. And so my mother encouraged me to do that. And on Wednesday, back then in the 1950s or 60s, the schools would release students if they wanted to have religious instruction, they called it. Yes. I don't know if they still do that today. Probably not. Yeah. But anyway, so it was on Wednesday. And Johnny Schreck here, Brother John, he was my religious instruction teacher on Wednesday. And I loved him. He was a lot of things to me. But anyway, so class was over and we got let out. Brother John would take some of the kids home. And so I got in the car. I was riding shotgun. And everyone was in. And my hand, the four fingers of my hand, was in the door jam where the door closes. Well, a kid was outside and slammed the door shut right on these four fingers. Well, I was screaming. I was 10. And Brother John reached over. He was in the driver's seat. He reached over unsuccessfully to try to lift up the handle. But there were two dear German ladies on the sidewalk, and they were surveying the whole incident. And they opened the door, and they physically grabbed me out of the car. And one of them said, "We need to get him to Uncle Hans immediately," you know? So they grabbed me, one on either side, and they just about carried me down the walk and into the door, and they carried me down the stairs, brought me to dear Uncle Hans, and they explained to him what happened. And, you know, he looked at me, my fingers, they looked like chopped meat. And he didn't say, "Boy, you need to get him to the hospital, the emergency room." He just very, very calmly took these four fingers in his hands, like Jesus would have done. And he just went like this, and he very quietly prayed, very, very calm. And then he, looked at my hand, and he said, can you move your fingers? And I tried. I said, "Yes, I think I can." And so then he looked at me and he said, "Are you the boy that wants a canary?" And I said, yeah. And he said, "I've got a bird for you." And then a little later on, someone came with a canary in a cage. And that was, I never forgot that. That was wonderful. And that was the Lord trying to show me that he could be very, very personal. And isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He wants to do that for every one of us. But I have discovered that there are people in life, non-Christians and Christians, and I've heard people say, when you want something to happen, you should grab the bull by the horns. I know you've heard that expression. And you got to try to force the issue and make it happen. And I suppose there might be room for that at times, but that is not the way God has led me. You know, he just hasn't. And maybe other people are led in that direction to do that, but God has not led me that way. And in the teaching I've received at Ridgewood and Pilgrim Camp, that's not the teaching that I have heard, you know. And anyway, I'd just like to share a couple of things with you and hope that something I say will be encouraging, especially to a young person. I know that when you're going to school, graduating high school, trying to think of what you should do next, or graduating college. As a young person, often we really don't know what to do, and I hope that this will encourage someone. But the year was 1966. It was September, and the Vietnam War was raging, as some of you can remember. My dear brother Dominic was in Vietnam at the time. He was serving a year, 10-year over there. And September 1906, I had to register for the draft. And I was just as scared as a lot of other young people then. And I was trying to prepare myself mentally for that. I just assumed I was going to be drafted and I was going to wind up in Vietnam. And it wasn't a pleasant thought. And I remember we had a wonderful Monday night prayer group, and people like Brother Carl Saylor Jr., Walter K. Root, Paul Dietrich, Charlie Dietrich, they were the ones that kind of overseered that prayer group on Monday night, and it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. That's what got me through school and through a lot of things in life. You know, my mother was so sick for years. Some of us were having to register for the draft, and I remember coming to a prayer meeting, and Brother Carl said he was talking to us about that, about the future and what could happen. And he said, and he was very stern, you know, and he needed to be. He said, fellas, he said, this is no joke. He said, you need to seek the Lord and storm heaven and get in touch with God. And I'll tell you, that night we really did. But anyway, that's what I thought was going to happen. And I was resigned to that. But a month earlier, this was September, a month earlier in August, God began something that was going to change my life in an amazing way. And I didn't even know at the time that it was going to happen. But I had been at camp for almost an entire summer. And Pilgrim Camp is my favorite place on the planet. I just want you to know that. And towards the end of the summer, two young men came to camp to work all the way from Zion, Illinois. And they were, some of you might know these names, Phil DeVries and Paul McNutt. Not Paul the Nut, Paul McNutt, okay? And although some people would call him that, just to, you know. But anyway, they were wonderful young men. They were from Zion, Illinois. They were from the Faith Homes. And they were both attending Zion Bible Institute in Rhode Island. And Philip had just spent a year there, and Paul was going to his first year in the fall. And so we struck up a good friendship, and I really liked those guys. They were very encouraging. They were really neat. They came from a long way to be here. And at this point in life, going to Bible college was never even a thought. I just, you know, figured I was going in the Army, and that's the way it was going to be. And but I had never, you know, considered college. One of the reasons, because of the finances, and it might have been a far away thought, but never anything serious. And then in 1967, in the early spring, a family who had gone to Ridgewood for many years, and they had recently moved out to Long Island, they invited me to come to their house for the weekend. I was good friends with a fellow named Charlie Shepherd, and so after Ridgewood service on Friday night, I went out with them to spend the weekend on Long Island. And the next day, they informed me that they were going to Brooklyn on Saturday night to Brother Crandall's church. Ben Crandall, some of you might know him, and at Calvary Tabernacle. They said they're going to have a musical there. Brother Crandall would have a monthly musical on a Saturday night every month. And little did I know, but about 9 months later, I was going to be there at a monthly musical singing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that this was going to happen. But anyway, so we go off to Brooklyn, and we got there a little bit late, and we get in there, and we went up to the balcony. The place was packed out. We go up to the balcony. We sat up front there, and the Eastern Bible Institute Choir was there. They called them the EBI Choir, and they are now Valley Forge Christian College, but that's who they were. So I'm sitting there, and they sang, and I was spellbound. And in the choir, there was a move of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved on one of the young ladies, and I was watching all this, and I was really impressed. While they were singing, they continued to sing, and while they were singing, this thought came into my head. I thought, I wish I could sing with a choir like this. You know, I mean, it was like an overwhelming thought. I thought, boy, I would really love that. You know, and I wanted to be a singer, and I was so impressed, and I loved the Lord, and I wanted to, I can't say that I had ever had a call to be a preacher, you know, anything like that, but I felt that I wanted to do something, you know, for the Lord in church, and I loved to sing, but I got this thought in my head, but I didn't know how. I had no idea how this would ever take place. I thought, how is this ever going to happen? But I just had this strong feeling I'd love to sing with a choir like this. And anyway, on the ride back to Long Island, there was a young woman in the car, and she was attending at the time. She was attending CBC, Central Bible College in Missouri, and. She was also singing with Revival Time Choir. And some of you know what, you know, Revival Time Choir was all about. But anyway, so on the way back, she was very nice. She was very friendly. And so she talked to me, and she said, I mean, she didn't know me from anybody. She just said to me, what are you going to do, you know, with your life? I said, I said I recently graduated high school, and I said I'll probably get drafted and wind up in Vietnam. And she said you don't want to do that. She said, and this is how she said it. She said, you need to go to Bible college. And she didn't say you should consider going, you know, to Bible school, or maybe you should think about it. She said it so forcefully that it was like the Lord that said that. But I still didn't know how that was going to happen. And so she said, I'm going to get you some information from CBC. So she sent me some information. She did all that. And then I thought, well, I'm going to write to these guys, to Phil DeVries and Paul McNutt, and I'm going to ask them for some information about Zion in Rhode Island. So I did, and they sent me an application. They sent me a catalog immediately, and this was well into the spring of 1967. And so I looked at the application, and I saw registration fee $50. And so I thought, okay. And then I looked, but I couldn't find anything else that talked about the finances. And so I thought that was probably, you know, the application fee. You know, now application fees are probably $200. You know, without, you know, forget about the rest of it. But anyway, so I called Phil, and I said it says $50, and I can't find anything, any other information about finances. He said, that's what it costs, $50 a semester. I thought, that's ridiculous, you know, $50 a semester. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I can afford that. And what Zion was founded by a woman, Sister Gibson, Christine Gibson. Andy went to Zion. And she and the Lord wanted her to start a Bible school for young people that wanted to go into the ministry that could not afford it, that could not afford to go to college. And I mean, I didn't know that that existed until then, until that moment. And so I applied. It was well into the spring. And after that, I met an evangelist in Connecticut, went to hear him speak. And he said, I just came from Zion. And he said, they're really overloaded with applicants. They only had about 300 students, maybe a little less. And so, you know, they would really scrutinize their applicants. It was very difficult, you know, to get in. So I thought my academic record in high school was not, you know, the best. And so I thought, well, I don't know how they're going to accept me, you know. And but anyway, so I did it and prayed and just left it in the hands of the Lord. And so June rolled around. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I was set to go to camp for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of July. But anyway, I was praying that I would hear from Zion before I went to camp. But anyway, getting back to wondering what, you know, if they would accept me, I had to get three references. One was from my pastor, which was Brother Edwin, and then two others, nothing from my family. And one of my references, for, I asked Brother Paul to give me a reference. So I thought, you know, we had our quartet, and Brother Paul was my counselor for 2 years in the palace, when we had the palace. And in the quartet, we had two sane singers and two complete lunatics, and I was one of them, me and John. Brother Eddie was in the quartet. He was as controlled and as sane as could be. And the other one was Philip Kreutzer, who was also pretty much under, you know, control. But me and John were something else, and sometimes we'd give Paul a rough time. He put all of his time into us, you know, teenagers. And, you know, I wanted to sing, and Paul arranged the music, played the piano, and still sometimes we gave him a hard time. So I was, you know, thinking about all that when I asked him to give me a reference. And then in the when he was my counselor, I never made honor camper or merit camper. And I still haven't gotten the victory over that. But anyway, when I was my last year as a camper, my final year, Brother John was my counselor. And by the mercy of God, I actually made merit camper. And, you know. But, you know, Brother Gordon said, if you want to be on the staff at camp, you have to at least make merit camper. And somehow I did my last year. But anyway, Paul was the only one that gave me a copy of what he wrote. And I was, you know, a little nervous. And so I got home and I read what he wrote. And I looked at it and I thought, is he writing about me? I mean, I thought this can't be about me, you know. And I, by nature, I save a lot of things, and I'm surprised that I still don't have that, but I don't. But it's something that I could have framed. Well, anyway, that went to Zion, and so anyway, I was praying. I said, Lord, I want to hear from Zion. I said I would like to hear from Zion before I go to camp, and so the end of June rolled around, June the 30th. And I came home from work, and my sister greeted me, and she said, you got a letter from Zion. And she was smart. She said, it's real thick. She said, I bet you got accepted. And so, and she was right. I opened it up, my hands were trembling. And I read the first line was my acceptance. And I sat down and I said, I can't believe they accepted me. I was like stunned. And my mother said, praise the Lord, and she gave me a kiss. And I thought, I can't believe I'm going to actually be a Bible school student. I mean, I could not have orchestrated all the things that happened, leading up to that. And I am a firm believer in the divine providence of God. If we put our lives on the line and just let God have his way and we want to do the will of God, God will take care of the rest. I guarantee you. He will do it. And so that's exactly what happened. And anyway, just a few months later, remember I said I was looking at this choir and I thought, I would love to sing with a choir like this. When I got to Zion, they had choir auditions for the Institute Choir and the Zion Choraliers, which was the 20-voice choir that was the traveling group. And I thought, boy, I'd love to sing with them. You know, they sang the first Sunday night we were there. They sang a song called God is Alive. Very, very dynamic song. And I thought, boy, they are great, you know. And so I auditioned. And I remember after I auditioned the song, the pianist turned around and smiled at me. I didn't know if that was a good omen or what. But anyway, then I did, it was only Jesus that did it. I was invited to sing with the Choraliers. And I was thinking, I can't believe that when I saw this group, the time that I saw the Bible School Choir, that's when the feeling hit me that I'm supposed to do this. But I didn't know how. And so I had it was a wonderful blessing to be at Zion for 3 years and to sing in the Zion Choraliers. I can't believe what God did, but it was Him. And I could go and tell you how God brought me to Teen Challenge. There is not time for that, but He did. For almost 30 years, I directed the Teen Challenge Choir, and it was the divine providence of God. It was God that did it. I could never have orchestrated that. I'll just tell you this. On the second tour that I was on, things were very, very difficult. It was 6 months, and when we came back from tour, I lost the entire choir except for two students. And I'll just tell you that they were behaving very badly. And these guys, a lot of these guys were tough, and they were all bigger than me, you know. And I thought, I don't know if I can handle this. And so when we got back, dear Brother Castellani, he always treated me like a father, you know. He never yelled at me, but he just kind of smiled at me, and he said, Bob, he said, look, he said, this can't happen again. And I said, yeah, I said, you know, no kidding. So anyway, I tried to put some things in place that would stop that from ever happening again. But anyway, when I came to camp here after that tour, and God has, for some reason, the Lord has guided my life, has put things in place, planted seeds to guide me many times right here at camp. That's just what God has chosen to do. And so when I came to camp after that second tour, I was really nervous about, you know, the future because of what happened. And brother Richard Friedman came over to pray with me. And he laid hands on me, and he just quoted a scripture that said, and he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I knew that God was going to be with me. And I had some incidences after that here and there, but nothing that bad again. And God brought me through 29 years, and Jesus kept me every step of the way. He really did. And I would just like to share a song out of the hymn book about the leading of the Lord. And I just want to encourage everyone, but especially the young folks here, the young people who you are not sure what you're supposed to do. If you will just give your life unreservedly to the Lord, and God will work everything out. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He does it. Now, I know that there are probably no more schools that you can go to for $50. You know, things change in the world, but Jesus doesn't. And He can make a way where there is no way. Praise the Lord.